Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, better known in these parts as EPIC. The Eco News Report is brought to you by Dandars, Board Games and Books. If you're looking for a fun game to play this summer, go on over to our friends at Dandars. The Eco News Report is brought to you by Humboldt Distillery. Humboldt Distillery makes delicious, local, organic, distilled spirits at their facility in Fortuna, California. Pick up a bottle at your local grocer today. And joining me is my friend and colleague, Jen Kalt, Director of Humboldt Baykeeper. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Tom.
All right. So Keel the Bay has an annual report card, and it was released this year on June 29th, and it gave Clam Beach an F due to the high levels of bacteria in the water. This report includes the beach bummer list of the 10 most polluted beaches in California. Clam Beach came in at number 7 this year and has appeared in 7 of the past 11 years on the beach bummer list. So for years, people have been wondering why, and now we have a guest ready to help us answer that question. So today, our guest is Dr. Jeremy Corrigan, lab manager of the Humboldt County Public Health Lab, who recently published a study on water quality at Clam Beach in McKinleyville. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Tom and Jen. Thanks for having me on.
I think Jeremy is actually now the director of the County Health Lab. Is that right, Jeremy?
I'm in the process of applying for the position. I just recently became qualified and in the application and applying process right now.
All right. We'll cross our fingers for you.
Thank you.
All right, Jen, let's talk about Clam Beach and how this work started. It's because Baykeeper has been monitoring this for a long time and has been working to try to figure out what the heck is going on. So can you give us a little bit of the background here?
Sure. So basically, when people hear this, that Heal the Bay rated Clam Beach as one of the worst polluted beaches in California, they think, how can that possibly be? There's far more pollution in Southern California, isn't there? Well, part of the reason for that is it rains here more, and rain carries stormwater runoff into our creeks and Humboldt Bay and into the beach waters. And with that stormwater runoff comes a lot of bacteria that's all over the world, basically. There's lots of different kinds of bacteria. The one that we're most concerned with here is fecal bacteria, which comes from the guts of warm-blooded animals and can cause illness. So if people go swimming or surfing, or little kids are wading and pushing each other down, they can get sick from high levels of bacteria in the water. So many years ago now, Baykeeper petitioned the state to recognize this pollution problem in a bunch of creeks around here, and we've been studying it for many years. And so this is a day I've been actually waiting for years. The studies that we got the ball rolling on many years ago led to the state funding the County Health Lab to get all the equipment and training to analyze samples for genetic markers. Jeremy Corrigan has led that effort. And so that's why he's our guest today, because he has some answers for us about why.
Why? All right. So there's a book that I see at the co-op all the time when I'm checking out that's called Who Pooped in the Redwoods? So Jeremy, who pooped in Strawberry Creek?
That's a really great question. It's a very complex question that can't be easily answered. So I'm going to give a little bit of background on how the county approaches some of this monitoring. And so our public health department with environmental health and our public health laboratory, we monitor 5 beaches: Clam Beach at Strawberry Creek, Clam Beach at Mad River, Lufenholtz, Moonstone, and Trinidad Beach through the beach monitoring season, which typically runs from April through October. And so we monitor for fecal indicator bacteria, as Jen alluded to in the introduction, which is a really great tool for us to monitor water quality. But it's not the only tool that's available. And microbial source tracking is an additional tool that we've been able to add to our tool bag to be able to monitor for water quality and to give us a little bit more information than whether indicator bacteria are present. And so microbial source tracking really helps us identify where the source of this fecal indicator bacteria come from. So we look at the four major markers. So we're looking at human sources, dog sources, bird sources, and then cattle sources. So sometimes I might refer to them as ruminant because they can pick up deer, elk, as well as cattle. But most likely, cattle is the most likely source in Clam Beach and Strawberry Creek. And so adding microbial source tracking to fecal indicator bacteria really gives us a lot better understanding of the ecology of these areas. And so we first started, as Jen alluded to, working with the State Water Board developing these methods. And we kind of did a pilot project looking at Clam Beach. So we just did subsequent microbial source tracking sampling with our weekly beach monitoring sample. And that really ran from 2015 to 2018. And through the well over 100 samples were collected, and all of that initial findings really led us to believe that birds were the most likely source. We see and observe birds out on Clam Beach every single day. It's visited and frequented by birds, which is great and part of the allure of this location. But we wanted to know, is something else affecting these fecal indicator bacteria levels? Is there human fecal contamination there present? And so the county put together two different studies to add a little bit more depth and understanding to this area. The first approach was really an 11-hour beach study at Clam Beach, where we collected samples throughout the day every half hour. And we looked at Clam Beach at Strawberry Creek, and we compared that to Mad River on Clam Beach, which Mad River is not an impaired site. And we collected bacteria samples from there for 11 hours. And throughout that 11 hours, we showed that birds were definitely the most likely source of fecal contamination. Through our observation, we've seen thousands and thousands of birds. We took two approaches, more about sampling location. We sampled in the surf where Strawberry Creek meets Clam Beach. And then we sampled upstream Strawberry Creek, the freshwater sample that feeds into Clam Beach. And what we found is that the freshwater sample was virtually clean. It didn't have any bird fecal contamination, and everything out in the surf had high numbers of fecal contamination. So well over 50% of our samples had a detectable bird marker in them, and really leads us to believe that birds are the most likely source, with some background dog, because there's a lot of dogs that are walking around on the beach, and no human hits, which is a real positive thing for this area, that we didn't have any human hits on this day.
Jen, are you surprised that there were no human hits?
I was not terribly surprised when I read Jeremy's study, because I've been following the results for a few years now. And at first, my first reaction when I heard a couple of years, I think it was last year, the county put out a press release when the Heal the Bay report card came out saying that it was primarily birds at Clam Beach. And my first question was, well, aren't there just as many birds at the mouth of the Mad River? And the responses that I got from the scientists were basically like, well, the Mad River has a lot more water pushing out everything than Strawberry Creek. Strawberry Creek is a fairly small creek, and Mad River is a fairly large amount of water coming out at the mouth there. So that makes a certain amount of sense. Mad River Beach, not the beach that we call Mad River Beach, but the estuary, the mouth of the river itself, got an A-plus grade on this year's report card. So, Jeremy, do you have any thoughts on that? Why Mad River has the A-plus and Clam Beach has the F when they're so close together?
Yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head, which is essentially attributed to flow and the large mouth at Mad River. That's what we attribute the lower numbers to as well, is just the sheer volume of water that's coming out of Mad River.
So if there's any takeaways that people hear from this show today, other than all the findings and the science and stuff, when you swim at the beach or surf at the beach, avoid creek mouths. And that goes for anywhere in the world. If you're in Italy or Florida or Southern California, avoid any kind of creek mouths or stormwater outfalls, because that's where the pollution enters the beach. And if you're a surfer, you know you probably don't want to go surfing at the mouth of a big river, because there's lots of harbor seals there, which means the sharks are coming too. But let's say you're in Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay area, there's lots of big stretches of beach where there's no creek mouths or stormwater outfalls, and those areas tend to have better water quality. The other big takeaway is to avoid swimming or waiting, especially with little kids, within about 72 hours of a major rainstorm, because that's when all that pollution is washing off the watershed and into the creeks and the bay. And we know, living in Humboldt County, any freezing cold day in Moonstone Beach, if the sun's out, even if it just rained 2 inches the day before, there's going to be a million little kids in their swimming suits pushing each other down and throwing water at each other. And you know how kids, they scoop water up in their mouth to spray it in each other's faces? And it can cause what we politely refer to as GI distress. So diarrhea, vomiting, nausea, that kind of thing. So that's really the illness that we're talking about primarily. Or if you have an open wound that's not healed, it's really good to wash it out if you're in any kind of area where there could be bacteria pollution, because it can cause bad infections.
And then to add to this a little bit more, so why is it important that we've discovered and identified that birds is the more likely source at Clam Beach? Really, that's the question, right? And so this is a brand new field, but like fecal indicator bacteria, there are some health and safety cutoffs that are being established, meaning levels that then say that if it's above this limit or this number, then it's not safe to swim in the water, or you might be at increased risk of getting GI illness. We're just learning more about these cutoffs. In relative terms, I can tell you that the human cutoff and the bird cutoff are really far apart. And what I mean by that is it takes a lot less human bacteria to make you sick than it does bird bacteria. And so if the source is from birds, then the human risk is a lot less than if it was from a human source, if that makes sense. I'll also add that there's been a recent publication that came out that highlighted that when you have co-occurring human bacteria and bird bacteria, that level drops and your risk threshold drops a little bit. So that's real important for our finding, because what we found was birds were the primary source. It did not have co-occurring human bacteria in it. Therefore, the risk threshold is quite low for human health.
Yeah, so that's what makes Jeremy's study so important to us, is that the fecal indicator bacteria is really a coarse measure. It's just telling us there's bacteria in the water, but without knowing what kind of bacteria, what source animals it came from, we don't really know how much of a risk to human health it is.
And just to dive in a little bit more on what the good news means for the few human markers, it means that septic systems aren't a problem. So had this come out differently, we would have had to have a big investigation into houses and development, and to figure out a way to address septic systems, which is a costly endeavor. So we've avoided, thankfully, that whole problem.
Well, not so fast.
Not so fast. Oh, no. Tell me more.
Jeremy also studied the watershed, Strawberry Creek and Patrick Creek. And although the number of human hits were fairly low, it's not entirely accurate that no septic systems are a problem at all in this watershed. I'll let Jeremy talk more about that. But also, as scientists always say, this is one study of one watershed. And to make generalizations to say Moonstone Beach and Little River, we're not as on such solid ground, and it may take only one failed septic system really close to the creek to change that dynamic. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us about your study of the watershed itself, Strawberry Creek, which is primarily septic systems in the McKinleyville, Dowse Prairie area. I don't think there's any municipal sewer in the Strawberry Creek watershed. Is that right? Or am I?
I don't believe so. So Jen was exactly right. This is one study. It's a really helpful study, and it has a lot of really good information. I don't think this is going to be the last study that we do in this area, or will tells the complete story, but it gives us a really good indicator of what's going on and what's not going on. And so like Jen alluded to, we took a second approach. So we did a second study, which was a lot more targeted to really identify within the Strawberry Creek watershed what potential sources there could be. And so we conducted an 8-week study where we collected samples once a week at 13 different locations. Those 13 different locations, we included Clam Beach at Mad River and Clam Beach at Strawberry Creek as some controls. And then we had several sites along Strawberry Creek, right along the beach, We sampled the footbridge where everyone walks across. We sampled underneath the overpass and then upstream Patrick Creek. We had two spots on Patrick Creek. We had several spots upstream Strawberry Creek. And then we had one sample in Rose Creek that helped us identify what was going on in Rose Creek. And it was a pretty small study. Again, 13 sample locations over 8 weeks, so between 8 and 12 samples at each site. But the findings in general, we found that birds were still detected at the beach, which is consistent with what our other finding was. Upstream in Strawberry Creek watershed, we did not find any bird contamination or bird markers. So what that really tells us, one thing, is that the bird sources are coming from the bathing birds that are bathing right there on the beach, the nearshore birds. So, you know, that kind of really nails it for us that the birds are really coming from the right there on the shore and bathing inside the water.
The Eco News report, and we're talking about bacteria at our local beaches and where it comes from.
Additionally, what we found, and I think one of the most surprising findings that I had, was that we found quite a bit of ruminant or cattle sources throughout this region, really focused on Patrick Creek and Strawberry Creek. We definitely had more ruminants detected. I'd say off the top of my head, I think we had about 25 to 30% of our samples had ruminant detections, and some of them in the quantifiable range. Additionally, there were a couple human hits. So I think 4 samples total out of all the samples that we collected did have human detections, where 2 of them were quantifiable and 2 of them were below the quantifiable limit. So very low level detections, and they were in the Patrick Creek area.
And again, this was not terribly surprising because the study that Baykeeper Regional Water Quality Board and the County Health Lab did in 2016 to 2018 found very similar results, that even sites that we had chosen to look at potential septic pollution came back as cattle pollution. And those are places like in Fieldbrook and the Trinidad area, but also down by the Humboldt Bay National Wildlife Refuge in South Bay, where there are just a bazillion Aleutian geese and other birds in those areas. There's also cattle grazing in a lot of the pastures. Those came back as primarily cattle. And so, you know, we had very few bird hits. We did have some human hits in that study, primarily in Jolly Giant Creek in Arcata. So now that creek is one, it's also called Butcher Slough when it drains into Humboldt Bay. And so the Regional Water Quality Control Board and City of Arcata and the County Public Health Lab are doing a study now on that. Baykeeper started that study in February 2020, and then we suspended it because of COVID. And so the regional board has taken that study over, and City of Arcata is doing all the sampling, which is great because in that case, it is probably likely to be coming from the city sewer lines. So something that people ask a lot about is, what about all the transient campsites around the bay? And Baykeeper did a focus study of Little River and Janes Creek in Arcata, and we chose some sites downstream from some camps, some occupied campsites. And what we found there was more dog hits than human. And so I think what a lot of this is telling us is that septic systems could potentially be a problem in some areas, but they're not nearly the problem that people thought or still think that they probably are. I hear people say all the time, oh, it's all just from septic systems. But the other thing that it tells us is that people are probably not likely to be pooping in the creek. Cattle, we know they do. We know they do. If you don't fence the cattle off the creek, they will walk right in and poop right in the creek. Dogs, less so. People tend to pick up dog poop a lot of times because we don't like it around us. Anyway, so.
Jen, have you been tracking the Regional Water Quality Control Board's efforts to regulate non-point source pollution, things like cows pooping coming from cattle or dairy operations?
Yes.
How will that process work, and how will these studies fit into this kind of regulatory scheme?
That's a really good question, Tom. The regional board tends to take an approach where they
don't like to regulate.
Yeah, they work with the quote unquote regulated community to encourage them to do better. And so there was a dairy permit that was issued that basically involves self-monitoring. You know, the dairy ranchers need to monitor the pollution and try to do better. One big gaping hole in all of this is that it only covers dairy, so it doesn't cover beef cattle operations yet. And there are a lot of cattle around Humboldt Bay that are beef cattle. So this is a big issue for Humboldt Bay, largely because of the oyster industry is very heavily regulated because people eat raw oysters out of Humboldt Bay, right? I mean, Humboldt Bay, when it's not raining, is clean enough to eat raw oysters out of. And this is a lot of what Jeremy and his staff do in their lab is testing oysters for all kinds of pathogens, viruses that can make people sick, and bacteria as well. And so the oyster industry samples the heck out of Humboldt Bay when it's not raining and have found that it has very, very low levels of fecal bacteria when it's not raining. When it rains, they can't harvest oysters. So sometimes in the winter months, the oyster industry is just shut down for months at a time. So, you know, if it rains right before Oyster Fest, it's a huge nightmare because then they're like, oh my God, where are we going to get the oysters from?
Yeah, we definitely support the oyster industry here. And like Jen said, we've done a lot of sampling in the bay to see what these bacteria levels are. Vibrio parahemolyticus is another bacteria that we really look for to cause shellfish poisoning. And the waters are a bit too cold up here in Northern California for Vibrio to thrive. And so we continue to monitor the oyster shellfish meats as well as the shellfish growing waters here in our laboratory.
Jen.
Yeah, so the oyster industry is a huge driver for protecting water quality. So shout out to them.
I appreciate when Enviros give a shout out to the regulated industry or whatever you called it before. So regulated community. Jen, the Clean Water Act, one of the ways that it works is by designating waters as impaired on the 303D list, if you've ever heard that thrown out by people before. Are any of our local waters 303D listed for bacteria?
Yes, they are. There's several beaches. I'm not really up on which ones are listed right now. Jeremy may be, but the creeks that Baykeeper sampled for many years as part of our first flush water monitoring program, we just kept finding high levels of bacteria in most creeks around the bay. And so we petitioned to list Little River, Widow White Creek in McKinleyville, which is also known as Norton Creek, Jolly Giant Creek, Martin Slough and Elk River. So those are all 303D listed for bacteria. And then certainly Clam Beach. Yeah, so the way it works is the state water agencies recognize this impairment, it's called, if they're 303D listed. And then the plan is to figure out how to restore water quality. And, you know, the listeners may know Humboldt Bay Keeper got Humboldt Bay listed for dioxins in 2006. And the Regional Water Board is so behind schedule. They had planned to come up with a recovery plan for Humboldt Bay for dioxins and PCBs in 2019. And we haven't heard a word about it. So we're just trying to continue on doing our work to try and figure it out. The 303D list for bacteria, though, is what got a lot of attention to this problem and brought resources to the Humboldt County Public Health Lab, which I believe was the first lab in California. Humboldt County and Sonoma County Public Health Labs worked together to do this genetic microbial source tracking that we've been talking about. And so now we have this amazing resource here locally in Humboldt County. They're going to be doing the testing for the Jolly Giant Creek study in Arcata. And I don't know what you think, Jeremy, but I'm really thinking that Moonstone Beach and Little River would be the next place to do a more focused study because it is really our most popular recreational beach and it's on the 303D list. So
yeah, I think Moonstone is one of ours that we like to take a look at. We've done a handful of sampling there, seen very similar bird results, but I don't think we have enough data yet to say one way or another. I think this is a really, really great example of science outpacing regulation and or science outpacing how we're going to handle it, for example. So, you know, we have this really great tool. I don't think we know how to utilize it yet or how we can regulate against it. So fecal indicator bacteria is the gold standard. I want to say there's a ton of value in fecal indicator bacteria testing, but there are limitations. There's limitations to any test that you do. And this has its own limitations of inconsistent numbers. Sampling scheme is really, really important. And so if you're able to add additional tool like microbial source tracking to the mix, you add more information, more depth to this understanding. And so hopefully regulation and there will be more guidance that come out that encourage the use of microbial source tracking markers. I know there's a lot of discussion in the regulatory community as well as the scientific community to bring the human marker, which is HF-183. This is the most common marker that's being used across the, you know, the scientific community. And there's discussions about bringing this in as part of our beach monitoring programs.
I should also point out there are lots of other sources, right, that we haven't tested for. And when I first started doing this work some years ago, I was really surprised to learn from a colleague, a fellow waterkeeper up in the Puget Sound area, that they had done some multiple source tracking with a university that looked at all different kinds of wildlife. And they found that near a Forest Service campground that had a garbage problem, it was mostly coming from raccoons, which, believe it or not, I did not know this. Raccoons have communal latrines. They were setting up camp by the trash that was not being managed well at a Forest Service campground, and their communal latrine was right on the bank of the creek. And so that's an example where one source can be causing a lot of problem. And you know, this is basically just downstream is where the problem would be caused, because once these bacteria are out of the guts of warm-blooded animals for like 48 hours or so, they're dying off. That's why when it's dry, it's not as much of a problem. They don't live on their own in the environment. Typically, they're more in the inside your body. And so anyway, the raccoon's communal latrine just totally, it kind of cracked me up, but it also brought to mind, well, what if a lot of this is from wildlife? And the study in Little River and James Creek that we did, we had some what we call reference sites up in the industrial timberlands. So on Green Diamond land, and actually the other one was in the community forest. And we found where there is no human influence, there's basically no fecal bacteria. So it's not coming from wildlife primarily, except for the birds down at the beach. So that was an interesting finding. But Jeremy, is there anything else you wanted to say about your study that we didn't get to?
Just a couple other findings. I really focus on what the microbial source tracking indicators told us. We did a few other things. We looked at really the tidal influence, the direction of the tide, looked at drainage areas and different things. And we've seen some significant effects there. Nothing ground shaking or would change anything. Very little correlation between the microbial source tracking markers and the fecal indicator bacteria markers. Fecal indicator bacteria markers correlated well, meaning if we seen increased E. coli, we were more likely to see increased total coliforms and enterococcus. Most of this findings was really a preliminary overview of the Clam Beach and Strawberry Creek watershed. And I think we have some really good information and basic understanding that birds are the primary source. I do think we want to take a little bit closer look at Patrick Creek and really kind of understand a little bit more about the ruminants sources that are potential there. But what we found is there's not a lot we can do about the birds. They're not nesting on rafters or like a bridge or something where we could prevent some of this from happening. And so I don't know that there's a lot that we can do or that we want to do and change this beautiful area and encourage people to go out and visit it.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes from your paper, Jeremy, which we will post in the show notes for the science nerds amongst us, is this. You wrote, "Clam Beach is frequented by birds, which adds to the allure of its location and should be celebrated, not feared." And that's really important information for people who, you know, are concerned about going swimming and taking their kids out there, that birds are a good thing and shows the health of the ecosystem overall.
just stress that the county and public health continue to monitor this behind the scenes, right? So we continue, and we've been aware of this issue for several years. We have our county environmental health department who designed a couple of studies on their own that tried to understand this area a little bit better, and that we've pooled resources into helping to understand and find out answers to this area, and to assure everyone in the public that we're not done yet. We're going to continue to monitor. We're going to continue to dive a little bit deeper into this area and other areas. And now we have this great tool to help us do that.
Yeah. And I just also want to thank not just you, Jeremy, your entire staff and the county public health department, because you are all just such an incredible resource for this community. And a lot of people may not realize that you're doing in-house COVID genomic sequencing now starting in late May, right? So we have this incredible resource here that we're very fortunate to have, not just for public health safety at the beach, but also the really high-level public health issues like COVID-19, like bioterrorism. You did a really fascinating presentation a while back at the supervisors meeting about discovering the identity of a powdered substance that was mailed to the Pelican Bay prison, right? You found out it was ricin.
Yeah, it was a pretty rare occurrence.
Yeah, so we have a bioterrorism lab that is funded by County Environmental Health, and your staff is all very dedicated and amazing, and we're very fortunate. So thank you so much. You have no idea how thrilled I am that the County Public Health Lab and the Regional Board and the City of Arcata have taken over the study of Jolly Giant Creek in particular, because oftentimes Baykeeper has fairly limited funding, and we really need to do much bigger studies than what we're able to do with $10,000 or $15,000 grants. So it's really great. And I hope we can keep working together and focus on Little River and Moonstone Beach next. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I'd say a big shout out to you too, Jen. I mean, we started down this road many, many years ago looking at this area with a lot of concerns. And it's interesting to look at where we're at now and the tools and the findings that we have. And I agree wholeheartedly, it's really my staff that really do the bulk of this work. It's the people, boots on the ground, that do the collections, that do all of this testing to get this data to help all of us. So big shout out to my team in the public health lab, as well as environmental health. I'll give a quick connection between this project and COVID, if you don't mind. For COVID, most of us know that we've done, 45,000 COVID tests in a year through the COVID pandemic, which is an insane number of tests. We used to do only like 2 or 3 PCRs in a day, and now we're doing 300 in a day. Well, with that came instrumentation, right? So we were able to get a high throughput extractor instrument, which helps extract DNA quickly. And so I was able to validate that instrument when it came in on COVID and validate it for microbial source tracking. So I was able to do high throughput microbial source tracking now with the benefit of getting kind of an extractor through COVID testing funding. So piggybacking off of some of those opportunities are a really great strategy.
A COVID silver lining.
There we go.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Jeremy, for joining the show today. And thank you, listeners. Join us again next week on This Time and Channel for more eco news from the North Coast of California.